When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only. What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get.
They can help you find work in any industry. With just one interview at Express, you have a connection to endless jobs.
Whether you want a contract job, a new full-time role, or a summer job, choose Express Employment Professionals.
Express has more than 860 locally owned locations and no fees for job seekers.
Visit expresspros.com today to find a location near you. With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need.
That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class.
And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles.
That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards.
The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready.
Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Will.
Yeah.
We did it.
I know.
We finally did it.
It's finally happened. We've talked about this from the beginning.
Right.
And here we are.
We just kept saying, gosh, it's almost a perfect podcast.
Yeah.
It's just one nagging thing that's stopping it from being perfect. And that's right or strong.
And
so
thankfully, here we are. He's gone.
He's gone.
We did it.
We did it. We did it. High five to you.
We squeezed
him out.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, it's about darn time. Oh, obviously we are joking. We are so going to miss our dear friend Ryder Strong today, but he has a very good reason for being here. Does he?
Does he?
Should we talk about jury duty? He has
He has jury duty.
Have you ever been a juror?
I have been an alternate once, but didn't make it to the finals.
Oh,
I felt like I got cut right before I got to the Hollywood phase of Idol.
Exactly. You didn't get the golden ticket.
No. And this was when I was still keeping, I was trying to keep my Connecticut residency, like my Connecticut, what would it be called? My Connecticut status? I was still a member of the state?
It's not another country.
I know. That's what I'm trying to. There's a word. The word's not working.
You're
Ryder's
a horse
the one who's good with
buggy
the word.
Parking spot?
Yes. So for years, I kept I voted absentee out of Connecticut. I had a Connecticut driver's license and I would fly home for jury duty.
Oh.
So I flew to Connecticut and the first time I did that, I was sitting there. I made it all the way to Voir dire.
Okay.
Which is, you know, when you go there, they put you, you know, they put you in a giant room and then they pick you and they separate you to go into then, okay, now you're in a courtroom. And if there's a case, they're going to essentially audition you to be a juror. And it's called voir dire. So the first thing that happened was they said, okay, this is, we can't say the name of the victim out loud. So we've written it on a piece of paper. If anybody knows this person, Please speak up and say that you know. Now, the guy next to me, who's probably in his mid-40s, is shaking like a leaf. Like, I can tell he does not want to be there. He just wants to get out of this as fast as possible.
The note hits
his hand.
It's him.
It was him. The note hits his hand. He opens it up. He goes, I know him. I've known him my whole life. And the judge is like, wait, really? And he goes, yep, no. He goes, all right, I guess your excuse. Thanks, boom. And the guy bails. Like, as fat, like he left a jerk-shaped hole in the door as he ran out of the thing. So they get to me, and it's, I don't know the person, so they sit me up on the stand, and they bring in...
Wait, they sit you up on the stand?
Yes, so they bring us all one at a time on the stand, and the lawyers then get to question you to see if you're going to be in...
I did not have this experience, Will.
Oh, really?
Connecticut does things differently.
We do. We do.
No surprise
there.
Okay. Okay. So they bring you up onto the stand.
I'm up on the stand, and they start asking, like, you know, could you, you know, the
where were you on February 12th?
Yes. No, the prosecutor's like, could you keep an open mind? Can you do this? If you were told that, I'm like, yes, no problem. And then the defendant's lawyer gets up, and the defendant's lawyer is like 27.
Okay.
And he's got his suit on, and he's got his clipboard, and he says, Mr. Friedel, I'd like to start by saying that my niece and nephew and I are very big fans, and I'm hoping I can get a photo with you later. Now, would you be able to? And I was like, okay, I guess I just got recognized on the stand.
And let me guess, that's why you weren't picked.
No, I was. Oh. Then I made their like, we'll put you, because they said, is this something you'd want to do? And I was like, yeah, I would love to kind of sit on a jury.
Yes.
And so they said, well, we'll pick you as an alternate. And so I got all ready. You know, my parents are in the court system there. So, you know, they might, the
I
judge
thought you
even
meant
said,
I
know
you were
you're
say
my.
They yeah, were in the courtroom trial. Like they were so proud of you. They were there
you made
watching.
It. You're a juror. You made it. I don't care about your television shows. You've made it. So the judge is like, I know your parents. I know I don't have to tell you not to talk to anybody. You'll be fine. So I get home that night, and all the jurors got a call from the judge saying they settled the case. We don't need you. So I was like so close. And then I've been called 4 times in Los Angeles when I switched my residency.
Right.
The word I was looking for. I was called 4 different times. I've only had to go in once, and I was released the first day. And the other 3 times you just call in and they said I didn't have to show up. So no, I've never actually been. Have you done it? Have you been on a jury?
I was on a jury and I was the foreman.
No, well, first of all, of course you were. Of course you were the foreman. Wow, you didn't even have to tell me that. Of course you were the foreman. What happened?
So it was the first time I had ever been called for jury duty. And I was like in my mid-20s and I got called and I called in. And actually at the time you didn't even call in. You just had to go. You just had to show up. Now you can at least call and they'll tell you whether or not they need you to show up. So I went and I, you know, we went through a similar process of the can you keep an open mind, but it was done more like as a group. Like they asked us all individually, but we were sitting in the jury box.
Okay.
And so they just kind of went down the line, like, can you do that? Can you do this? Can you? And it was like, yes, yes, yes. And there were a bunch of questions about, we could tell it was going to have something to do with insurance. And it was like, have you ever been in a bad car accident? Oh. Have you ever been, you know, injured in an accident? Like there were, so I could tell like, oh, I know where this is going.
I know where we're headed.
And then, yeah, I got selected to be on the jury. And
were you happy? Did you want to be on the jury?
Yeah. I mean, at the time I was a little like, oh, wow, I guess I'm really doing this.
Right.
But yes, I was excited. I was like, wow, this is going to be interesting. And I was looking at it like I went into it thinking, great, I'm going to watch how they do it. I'm going to learn kind of the way I sat and watched Bonnie work with David to figure out how to be an actor.
Okay.
I was like, I'm going to sit in this jury room and learn how to be a juror by watching all these other people. And a lot of the people in the jury room had already been jurors. They were like, oh, yeah, I've been doing this for a long time. And one guy at the time that we had to select the foreman was like, is this anybody's first time? And I was like,
oh, no.
Fine. And he was like, great. You should be the foreman then. You should do it because this is a great learning opportunity. And I was like, this is the exact opposite of what I was thinking. I was thinking I'm a noob. I should be just sit in the back. But I ended up being the foreman. It was pretty great. And yeah, we went to trial. And we had to decide a dollar amount. There it had been a woman who was in a pretty severe car accident, and she was asking for insurance to cover physical therapy and other types of treatment for her for the rest of her life. But the caveat to that was that she had already been in a previous accident where she had also been injured. And so it was trying to decide, like, is this accident the reason... The sole reason you need PT for the rest of your life. So we ended up having to decide on a dollar amount that we awarded her that was supposed to then hopefully cover PT for, if not the rest of her life, for a very long period of time for the rest of her life. But anyway, it was very interesting. So
did anybody recognize you? Was anybody like, oh my God, Topanga's on my jury?
Not that I know of. No, okay. Nobody told me there. I was the youngest person there by 20 years or something.
Right.
And you know, I was in my mid-20s, so it was really fun. I actually super enjoyed it.
That's great. No, I've never been on the jury. Been on trial,
right,
but never
right,
been on
right,
the jury.
Of course.
So
well, we know you're a murderer.
Exactly. Well, actually, acquitted, so accused murder.
How dare I? Do not confuse
you.
The two.
I'd once again like to point out that was our best, easiest, funniest pre-show chatter ever.
Right, yeah. No hang-ups. Nobody telling
no hang-ups,
us
no telling,
why
yeah.
we're wrong or...
Right.
We're having too much fun.
Correcting our grammar, that kind of stuff.
No, I did miss a Hume mention, though.
Yes, right. I don't know what the philosophy of everything. But this is why we now will get words like residency of Connecticut, because we don't have Ryder there going,
we don't have Ryder,
okay, that's
everything. No grappling hooks. I don't know. I think, let's see. Let's see how the rest of this episode goes.
How many times can this one kid smelt metal? I'm sorry, but...
All before the age of 18.
I'm telling you, it's a logical question. Anyway.
He's still never made me anything. Has
no,
he ever made you
me.
Anything?
No.
Unbelievable.
Aggravated, but that he's been doing since I was a kid. So, come on.
Welcome to Pod Meets World. I'm Danielle Fishel.
I'm Will Friedle, and that's it.
That's it. That's it. That's our show today, guys. Oh, man.
I miss
All it. Right. Walk up to most any 90s kid and utter the two words shallow boy and watch as a wave of nostalgia alongside a catchy melody and some hysterical lyrics take over their entire being. And as much as anyone on the daily cast and crew of Boy Meets World would love to take credit for the long-lasting effect of this episode and character Corinna Collins has had on a generation, we all know it's mostly because of a guest star who stole every single scene she was in, while it was somehow her first TV gig ever. Before the appearance, she was one half of the Boy Meets World cast favorite pop duo, The Murmurs, who released several albums and was part of the legendary 90s tour, Lilith Fair. Our very own Alanis Morissette walked onto the set and, with what we can only assume is a sorcery reserved for guitar-playing wizards, seemed to be a seasoned and confident pro, who, with our pal Will here, made undeniable TV magic. And for good reason, she's been one of the most requested guests for Pod Meets World, not only from our listeners, but from us hosts as well. She'd leave us in chubbies and appear on shows like Grey's Anatomy, Supernatural, Bosch, and Silicon Valley. But it was her time as Alice on the groundbreaking show The L Word, where she'd become an LGBTQ icon, all for a role she'd later revisit on the reboot L Word Generation Q. And so now, get out your $20 bills to donate and then rescind. We are honored to welcome to Pod Meets World a guest star Hall of Famer, maybe the guest star Hall of Famer, Leisha Haley.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Okay, Ryder, if you had one extra hour in the day, what's the first thing you would do?
Well, if I'm honest, the first thing I would do is probably try and get more work done, but that's a horrible answer. So I would want to spend more time with my son.
Okay.
Plain. If I knew I had like a 25th hour, that whole 25th hour would be dedicated just to time with Indy.
Well, that's a good answer. I would ask the genie for another hour.
Well, that wasn't the question.
Well, a lot of us do spend our lives wishing we had more time, but time for what? You know, it's important to actually know what you consider special and thus worth your limited time.
Whether it's family or a passion project, therapy can actually help you find those priorities and figure out what matters to you so you can do more of it.
You know, I've talked about it a lot on this podcast, but therapy was a lifesaver for me, helping control and understand anxiety and the panic attacks that at one time crippled me completely.
And if you're thinking of starting therapy, there's so many reasons to give it a shot with BetterHelp.
It's all online and you can schedule appointments based on your schedule.
You just fill out a short questionnaire and they match you with a licensed therapist.
And you can switch at any time for no additional cost, just to make sure you can easily find your perfect match.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/MeetsWorld today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/MeetsWorld.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When it comes to Podmeets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
Hi!
Hi! I have one quick question right off the bat.
Yes.
Is there a painting of yourself somewhere in your attic that's aging because you're not?
Oh, my goodness. What was you're that? Very like a, kind.
Did you hurt yourself when you fell from heaven? Because, girl, you're an angel. What the hell?
It wasn't
was that?
A pickup line. She hasn't aged. She hasn't my aged
Lord.
A day.
First
oh my
of all,
God.
I was a lot older than all of you when I was on this show. So, you know, I think I've always been old. So I think that the perspective is
no,
like the
I don't
same
think you're that
much.
I don't think
here.
You're that much older than
no,
me.
No, there's no really? Way we're that much older, no. older than Will. No. No. What's your birth year?
71. I'm 50.
Okay, yeah. 76. Yeah. I'm 47.
Yeah, okay, okay.
So not too much. You know. Not too much. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
look
nice.
At you guys just playing teenagers.
Look at us.
Well, I watched a show last night because I was really looking forward to it because I haven't seen it in a million years. And like 30, right? To be exact.
Yeah. Something 30, like that. Yeah. About yeah. 30, yeah.
30
and
years.
One of my lines, I said I was 18 and I died laughing. I'm like, wow.
I mean, the truth is, though, you could still play a teenager. I'm not kidding.
No.
You really could.
Now I know you need glasses.
No, I do not. I have perfect vision.
Hi.
We are so happy to see you. Thank you so much for doing this. You
I was excited.
One of our most requested guests, not just from fans. What? You are one of the most requested from us
from
as
us.
Hosts.
From
we've
us.
Been really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad this happened.
We've been looking forward to it from the time we started the show. And we have talked about it a couple of times, how Boy Meets World had some really great guest stars over the 7 years the show was on. But there are a handful of just perfect drive-by guest star appearances. And you, I think, are the number one spot.
I don't disagree with that. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. We were trying to think of, I mean, there's a couple up there that were really great, but this is the one where, you know, convention, stuff like that, people talk about Shallow Boy and the songs and all the kind of stuff. Oh my, all the time. I mean, we hear this all the time.
To one of these conventions with you guys, because I have to say, through the years, I've had a really strange, exciting, like, I mean, I hate the word blessed, but like blessed life. And this show, I had no idea what I was walking into when I did it. And for the last 30 years, if somebody stops me, I assume it's one thing. And then it's like, Boy Meets World. And it just always makes me laugh because it was one episode and I'm like,
Right. What? Okay. Yeah. Like, you guys really have the greatest fans on the planet, I think.
We do.
Couldn't agree with you more. We have talked about that as well. We do. We can confirm. And now we need you to confirm something.
Oh, okay.
Before we even go forward, was this really your first job on TV ever?
It was my, yes, it was. And I had to call my bandmate because I asked your producers what year we did this because I couldn't remember the process of getting the job.
Yeah.
And I realized you said it was like August or September of 1996. Yeah. And I had just moved to LA. Like I must have been there maybe 3 months. Oh. So everything in my memory is the whole city was foreign to me. So just like what office was I in? Who called who? Like, how did I, you know, how did the whole thing happen? And I think I've figured it out, but to answer your question, that was a long way of answering. I did an indie movie the year before called All Over Me. And I was in a band.
The Murmurs.
Yes, The Murmurs. And I had bright pink hair, like hot pink hair for years. And I had it in this movie. And one of my memories is it might have been your showrunner. I don't know who it was I met. It was a really nice man. And I think he called after seeing me in that movie and had me come in to read for it. Because I remember him saying like, oh, I thought you had pink hair. And I had just gotten rid of it when I moved to LA.
Well, there was one of our producers I saw 2 days ago. We just had dinner and he remembers because I told him you were coming on. And he's like, oh, my God, that's so great. He remembers taking one or two other producers and going and seeing you guys perform live.
You just solved it. That's what it was.
Yeah, he says he went to a show. He said, because one of the things he remembers, and we can cut this out if we want, is your bandmate fell off the stage.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he said it's like, and then she just fell right off the stage. So
do you know now exactly what show that is? Or?
Oh my God. No, I feel like at the time, like that might have been happening a lot. Okay, this is hilarious. No, we were, we had a lot of fun when we first moved to LA. Better her than me.
Yeah, it was Jeff Sherman and Mark Blutman, the two of them. And they think one other guy went. It might have been Howard Busgang, but they went to your show and saw the Murmurs perform. And he was like, we knew right the second she started singing. He was like, that's her, obviously. So,
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing.
So, had you moved to LA partially to start auditioning? Were you looking to be an actor?
Well, I studied so I'm from Nebraska and I moved to New York to go to acting school. So that was my big plan. Oh, I'd done it my whole life and I studied and I was just thought that was going to be my career. And then my best friend and I started a band in school. And when we graduated, we were so broke and we're like, we got to start. Nobody was auditioning. Nobody knew how to get an agent. So we just started playing the subways and like every street corner we could. Like I always had my guitar on my back. We were a little acoustic duo and we started playing all around the East Village. And all of a sudden, like 2 years in, we got signed. So it was MCA Records. And so all of a sudden I had this music career I'd never planned on. And I kind of put acting to the side. So that's why when this show came out, like you guys were sort of my foray into like getting back into it or starting at least.
Yeah. Oh yeah. My gosh. It is just so. So had you, when you came to our show, had you ever heard of Boy Meets World?
I had not heard of Boy Meets World. But I think I just was out of the age range, you know? Right. Because when I was watching it last night, I literally was laughing. I was like, this is a really well-written show.
It's funny.
It was funny.
Like, it's a funny show.
Well, you are funny.
Oh, thank you. Well, you and I, so we'll get into how you and I thought worked really well together. And I just remember getting along that week because we were working on our scenes and you were talking to me about music. But before we get there, we have talked so many times about the table read. Mm-hmm. Because the table read for that episode, we'd never met you, we didn't know who was coming in, and you brought your guitar and you sung every song acoustic at the table read, and you were so cool and so collected and calm and singing. So I'm curious, were you nervous at all? Because it did not come off like you were nervous, even a tiniest little bit. It was weird.
I mean, here's the thing, and maybe you guys identify with this. When I was younger, I wasn't nervous about a lot of things. I was like very a risk taker, and I just threw myself into situations all the time. And I think that, you know, to my benefit, like it just worked. And so I think now, like if you were to ask me to do that today, I would die inside. I would find a million excuses. I need to practice, or I need to,
right.
I don't know. Like I just had this thing back then.
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense to me that I was, if I didn't seem nervous, maybe I wasn't. I don't know.
Not only did you not seem nervous, but like Ryder, who's not here today because he got called in for jury duty.
He's on jury duty.
Ryder remembered when we recapped your episode, he remembered that the only thing that was in the script were the words. It was just lyrics. And you came to the table with your guitar and had basically written all the songs. And his memory was at the table read going, we already could shoot this show because of her.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do you remember the process?
Well, I remember getting the lyrics and sitting around my house just because, you know, she had to be very happy and like lighthearted. And I remember like, oh, this is like just very acoustic-y. Like I knew how to do that. It was the edgier one, the one where I like, because I laughed because I growled, because I don't sound edgy. Obviously, my voice is very high. But like, I thought that was a funny choice because I remember meeting up with a producer and we recorded the songs that ended up being on the radio.
Yeah.
You know,
that's probably Jeff. So Jeff Sherman wrote the episode and wrote the lyrics because that's who I had dinner with the other night. And he was like, please tell her that essentially we wrote songs together because
she
wrote the music and I wrote the lyrics.
His uncle and dad are the Sherman brothers.
Are the Sherman brothers who wrote all the Disney music, wrote Mary Poppins and all, you know, for
what?
It's a Small World.
Oh, yes.
Jeff Sherman's, he comes from a very musical family. Famous Sherman brothers. No, it's just cool because it makes sense that that was a Sherman episode and that you, being the talented musician and actor that you were, that it was just, it's literally a perfect storm.
Yeah. It worked.
It really was. Look at that. I see. That's why I love life. It's so awesome. So I went to his house and we recorded it.
Okay.
Maybe. I'm asking.
Yeah, probably
a
house.
Oh, I don't know.
Or a studio.
It was probably a studio. My guess is you probably went to a studio.
It was probably Ray Colcord's.
It might have been Ray.
With Jeff.
Yeah, that would be. So Ray Colcord did all our music from, he's passed since, but he was a great guy who did all our music from Boy. And everything from the theme songs to the tiniest little jingle that you would hear, he was responsible for in some way or another. So my guess is music-wise, you and Jeff met up somewhere and combined your talents. Because it was, oh man, that table read, I think there's two table reads in the entire series that stand out for me, and it's that one and the one, The Fugitive, when we had the earthquake.
Right.
And it was the day after the earthquake, and we had the
massive
90,
earthquake 94. In 94.
And so a natural disaster.
You and a natural
and you
disaster
playing the guitar
are
the two things I remember.
There, really.
The two things I remember from the show. It was amazing.
And only one of you killed people. So that says a lot.
Good. Now, I don't want that on my record.
No. I know we've talked, we just mentioned that you don't have like too many memories of exactly how it all came together, but do you remember in any sense, was there like a traditional audition? Did you go to a building and like read lines for someone?
This is where, so I was in a building.
Okay, good.
I can confirm, yes. And I was in an office with, I believe, Jeff, who you were just mentioning, because I remember... There's no way they didn't have me read for it. If they saw me play, I must have read for it. And then we started talking about music because that's the part of the conversation I remember. So maybe you just had to like, you know, confirm that I could read lines or something or that I could pull it off. I don't know. Because maybe he knew I could do the music part, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Michael Jacobs, our producer and showrunner, was also very big into music. So he was probably involved in all that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wonder if she auditioned first and then Jeff and Howard and Mark went to the show.
I wonder if that's how it happened.
Yeah, that's the part I can't figure out. But right. I know that they wouldn't have there's no way I would just been offered a part, you know, so somehow I had to prove myself somewhere.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? 30 years, just you guys have a really sharp memory.
Oh, no.
Danielle, not so much.
Will does have a very good memory. I once ran into Shaq somewhere and was like, hi, it's really nice to meet you. And he was like, Danielle, I once held you over my head at Universal Studios in Florida. And I was like, oh, well, that could be the case. So
think you'd remember, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
We remind Danielle she was on Boy Meets World. It's like, you played Topanga. You were very good.
I feel better about myself. Yeah. Thank God you're here.
Yeah. Do not worry. So then you are basically, we do a table read and you're just thrown right into the mix for the week. What do you remember from rehearsals and then eventually our tape night?
Well, Will, I have to say you were like the kindest person to me. I have to like give you like full credit for being a really nice guy and so welcoming and supportive, because I'm sure at that point I remember being like, oh, okay, this is like a TV show. I get it. Like, I've never done this. Yeah, you were so great. And we did really work on everything and try to find that like sweet little dynamic we had.
The chemistry is just impeccable. It's so great.
I thought so too. No, we did. I remember distinctly. Well, you always had your guitar. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of those people where I'm such a fan of music and I have no musical talent whatsoever, just none. So I gravitate towards people that do. And you would just kind of sit there and you'd strum your guitar, or you'd sing a song and that week, Danielle went out and got me the Murmurs album, which I still listen to quite a bit. It is. It's a great album. Oh. The Pink album with I'm a Mess.
Yeah.
So you and I would talk music and then we'd talk about the scenes and go through it. I just remember we got along very well. And that, I think, showed when we did the show, you know, frankly.
It's so important. I always think that you can see through that stuff, too.
Yeah.
I think we really did have something natural.
I think so, too. It was the thing that amazed all of us was the music stuff was incredible, but you were a musician. It was the comedy stuff that I think what we were all, I mean, I'm not going to say shocked because you're an actor, but also happy with, because it was like you were nailing all the jokes and it was just like, oh, okay, this is.
And now that I hear when you had trained, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had been a minute, but like I knew how to listen, talk and listen, Leisha. But your comedy, like when you yelled check the third time, like last night, I was like, dying. Like it was so, you're so funny.
Oh, okay.
It like actually makes me want to go watch the show. I'm like, these people are really talented.
He's worth watching. That's for sure.
You are too, Danielle.
I'm barely on the show.
What are you talking? Really?
Yeah, I know it is very shocking, but we are now season four is the first year I'm in every episode. And even then, most of the time I'm kind of just in the periphery type character. But those first three seasons in my mind, it was like, you know,
it's a Mandela effect thing with Topanga,
because really
everybody thinks Corey and Topanga when they think of Boy Meets World. And we're watching and we're like, where the hell are you?
Why am I hosting this podcast with you guys?
But I think by season five, it's all Corey Topanga. And then there's three seasons of just the two of you, essentially.
Right.
I
can't wait.
We'll get there eventually.
We're getting there. That's why we have to keep reminding her you're on the show.
But imagine like that says a lot. Like if you weren't on it a lot, but the impact you had and everyone assumes you were like, that's very telling. So when you're on screen, you really
couldn't keep
their
eyes off me. Yes, exactly. Thank you. Riveting. I'm riveting on camera.
Yes.
So when your episode then aired, did you watch it live? Did you tell people about it? What did your friends think?
What are you kidding? Of course.
I love it.
You guys, I'm on TV.
We're watching.
Yeah.
We're,
like nobody was doing that back then. It was shocking to all of us. Yeah. I had some friends over and we all watched it and it was great. I mean, it's so weird to see yourself for the first time. Ugh. Also watching last night, like I was a baby.
Yeah. Yes.
I know.
I was 20, I think 25. Yeah. It's crazy.
Oh my gosh. But still, just a
baby face.
Does it feel to you like somebody else? Because sometimes that's how I feel. I'll watch it and I'll think, yes, I know that girl. She feels like someone I knew once, but it does feel like someone else.
I knew once is a great way to put it.
Yeah. Yes.
I seemed very, I mean, I know I was leaning into that very wide-eyed and, you know, innocent, but I think I might have been like that in general.
Right. But it wasn't too far from who you really were.
Yeah. It never really is it?
Yeah. But it's so funny because, again, I go back to the album that I listen to all the time. Those songs don't represent being wide-eyed and innocent.
Well, I mean, the funny thing about our album, we were actually were like, we had a hit song called You Suck. And that was what everybody thought. Like, we were this edgy. Maybe that's kind of what they saw with the character. Right. Everyone thought we were this edgy band. But then when you listen to the rest of the record, it's like, la, 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 la. Like, I'll never forget going on tour. And you would go from city to city and everyone was, you know, there to hear the big hit song. And then you'd play the rest and you could just feel the room shift. Like, oh.
What? No. I thought we were going to get more You Suck material.
Yeah, yeah. Where are those edgy girls?
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car. Backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Not a website, but a person in your community that would help you for free. Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get.
Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search.
Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you or download the Express Jobs app to get started.
With a wide range of opportunities in a variety of industries, from welding to sales, forklift operator to customer service, the team at Express is ready to help you or someone you know take the next career step.
Whether you're looking for a contract job for the summer or a new full-time role, turn to Express Employment.
Interviewing with Express Employment Professionals can be as easy as a phone call, and one application with Express puts you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community.
Don't go in your job search alone.
Visit expresspros.com today.
There's a part in the episode where Eric's sister, Morgan, is singing along to one of Corinna's new songs. And she mentions, as she's singing along, that there's a lyric in it that, you know, Eric might like boys, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a trope we've run into a few times during our rewatch. There was obviously a lot of gay panic in sitcoms in the 90s.
Yep.
And actually, to Boy Meets World's credit, it was actually much better. And most things really hold up. So to its credit, but it still pops up. Do you remember this line or do you remember this type of fear on TV?
You know, and like that, you know, we have this with the show I was on too. Like we were in the times we were in. You can't, it like Monday morning quarterbacking is just, it's, you can't do it because that's just the way the world was, you know?
Yep.
And so, you know, I think you guys probably feel this too. You have this responsibility to like the lines you said, or, you know, the way your character responded to something, or, but, you know, the writers were also of the times and the show was of the times and we can all look back and judge it, but like, you know, it didn't bump for me then. And last night I was like, oh, they have one. They have them too. Like we all have them.
But that was, I mean, especially in the 90s, that was when you were insulting your friend or getting insulted. That's what it was. It was something calling them gay was like, oh, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was, I'm very happy actually with the way Boy Meets World handled it 99% of the time. Like the bromance between Sean and Corey, they don't ever make fun of, like, you know what I mean? They're not playing on that trope.
No, they lean so heavy into that it's a real love and it's between these two friends and it's never, I mean, one of my favorite lines is when Topanga asks Corey and Sean, like, why don't you two just get married? And they look at each other and Corey says, because our kids would look like a horse. It's like, it has nothing to, it's like he contemplated it. He decided their kids wouldn't be cute.
Yeah, it's just,
that's it. That's the reason not to. So yeah, Boy Meets World does it better than most. Have you ever been asked to play Shallow Boy live?
I have not. No, I have not. If I see, here I go, I would have prepped if you guys are asking me
Oh no, we weren't.
No, we weren't going to ask, I swear. I swear.
I would never put you on the spot like that. So please bring your, no, I was just wondering if when you do, because you're still performing, you have I don't know, actually, I was going to say a new band, but I don't know how new your band is.
Well, actually, that's over too. I'm done with the music, but yeah.
You're totally done with music?
Yeah. I just, you know, I play it, you know, for fun at this point.
Okay. Right.
I can't ever go, let me try to have a music career again. Feels a little.
Well, like, now's a perfect opportunity to prep Shallow Boy for when next time you're doing a live show. So just start doing the fun stuff, you know?
Oh, exactly. That's the whole goal. Fun stuff. Maybe if I come to one of these conventions with you guys.
Yes. Please come to a convention.
A live show.
There we go.
Will you come to one of our Pod Meets World live shows?
She goes live. She's back.
Oh, we might hold you to that because our live shows will get a theater that's, you know, 1,000 people, 1,200 people, and we bring people out and we just have so much fun.
So much fun.
A live Shallow Boy performance.
Oh, yeah, call me up.
So soon after you were on our show, you were in the scene of Ellen's sitcom when she came out on network TV.
Well, this is like a funny thing. So my girlfriend at the time was in that episode.
Okay.
And I just came along to watch the taping and they just threw me in the coffee shop while she was.
You were like, yes, I'll be a background actor.
And I didn't even know it was going to be as big of a deal as it was the actual episode. But yeah, I'm like somehow in that episode as an extra.
That is so funny. And I can imagine that, of course, actually, I'm not sure I can understand. I mean, that was an episode that like stops Earth's orbit of the sun at the time.
Yes.
And yet you're saying at the time you didn't really think about that. You just felt like, oh, yeah, this is my girlfriend's here and is doing a guest appearance. And this will be an episode that airs on TV.
I knew it was a big deal that Ellen was coming out. I was very conscious of that. I think I didn't know the effect it was going to have in the world, and also her career and, you know, just the response. And it just goes down in history, that episode. My God.
Yeah. It is a pretty magical moment in all of television history.
Yes.
And the girlfriend you had at the time, if it's the one I think it is, almost killed me.
What do you mean?
Well, she almost ran me over with her car.
Okay,
oh my gosh, please tell this story.
Please tell this story.
So can we say who I think?
Yeah, Katie Lang.
Okay, yes. Yeah. So she almost killed me with her car.
Okay, I'm horrified right now.
Okay, so.
It's not your fault.
There was a restaurant in Burbank at the time, which I still think is there, called Maselli's or Michelli's, where all the waiters sing and they sing. Right.
Yeah.
So I was leaving there at the time with, I think, my girlfriend at the time.
Wait,
is this when it, like, nothing to do with the time we were working together? This is like a
totally separate thing after.
Okay, good. Maybe we weren't even together anyway.
Yeah,
okay,
no, this is totally separate thing after. So I'm
Will
walking.
Was with our, what? Love Hewitt?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't know. It might have been I was with Love. I don't remember. But I'm crossing the street, and I probably was crossing against the light, and a car screeches to a stop.
Oh, God.
A foot from me. And I look up, and it's Katie Lang. And she gives me this look where at first she's like, I can't believe. And then her face kind of brightens, and she waves. And I left, and she drove by. So either she recognized me from the show we did together, or was just happy she didn't mow me over.
What do you think this was, Will?
Probably like 97.
I wasn't in the passenger seat, was I?
She was driving by herself.
It's great to run into you.
But it was the exact
We followed you.
It was a moment where I then walked, and I was like, Katie Lang almost killed me. That I almost just died.
Imagine,
and it would have been on the news
really
for a number of reasons. Yes. Yeah. So
what a weird way to go, right?
Yeah, she almost ran me over. I don't think I've ever told that story before, but Katie Lang almost ran me over.
That is so funny.
So there you go.
I'm glad you're here to tell about it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you too about Lilith Fair, which is such an iconic tour of the 90s. What was your experience like traveling with that lineup?
It was incredible. So we tried to get on that tour for, I think, 3 years. Uh-huh. And the year we got on was the year our label dropped us. So they wouldn't pay to have us do it. So we only could afford to go on it for like, I think it was like 8 days. We did the West Coast. And
you paid for yourself to go on the tour?
Yeah, we had to tell all the guys in the band, we're like, we can't afford you. You got to stay back. We went fully acoustic again, rented a car. Took our manager, this sweet woman, Kimberly. We're like, you have to do most of the driving and the and we'll do the rest. Like it was like a team effort. We stayed in like really bad motels the whole way up and down. And, you know, the drives were long. Like everyone else was in a bus. And like,
you guys were like,
so happy to be like a part of Lilith Fair. It was like a dream. So we did whatever it took and got to hang out with all the greats backstage.
Who was on tour with you at the time?
It was like Bonnie Raitt, the Dixie Chicks were there. Oh my God, who else was there?
Was this like Fiona Apple time?
No.
Okay.
Not that one. I think this was the last Lilith Fair. I think it was the last year they did it. Yeah, Chrissy Hynde. I mean, please. We were just sit there with our jaws dropped. Like, are we really here? This is crazy. Luscious
so cool.
Jackson. I don't know.
Yeah. Then in 2004, you were cast on the groundbreaking TV show The L Word, and you played Alice Piazecki. Am I saying
Piazecki?
Piazecki. Okay, thank you. Alice Piazecki, a bisexual journalist and a radio show host.
Yes.
At the time, did you know how important this show was going to be?
You know, no. Again, it was another, like everything gay back then was very underground. Like, it kind of came and went. And if you know, you had to go find it, like seek it out. And so another audition story is I got this through my music. Like I didn't have an agent. I still didn't pursue acting. I was very music driven. And I heard about this audition, so I had my music manager call to get me an audition because I was like, oh, this sounds kind of cool. Like, maybe this is something I could do. And I went out for the role of Shane, and I ended up getting a call back, and then I got another call back, and I was like, oh, this is so weird. And then I tested against my now best friend, Kate, who played Shane, it was her and I in the audition room, and we both tested for the network. And when I was sitting there, I obviously knew. I was like, oh, this is, I'm never going to get this.
But
like,
never getting this. Kate's getting Shane.
Yeah, because there she is. That's Shane. And then I went home, and they had my home phone number. Like, so yeah, they were calling like the house for any like callbacks or whatever. And so a week went by. I didn't get it. Da, 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 and the phone rang, and they were like, hey, you obviously didn't get that part, but they want to bring you back in. They liked something about you. They want to read you for this other part. And then it's a totally different character. And they sent me that. They faxed me the sides.
Right. Oh, yeah. I remember.
Remember those? And, yeah. And I went through the same process. I started from the beginning, and I ended up testing, and I got the show. And I was like, oh, this is, I mean, I was obviously like thrilled. I actually, funny story is I turned it down twice when they called to tell me I got the part, because I realized, I know, this is like how oblivious I was to like Hollywood and like all these kind of things. They were like, you got it. I was like, I was at the house with my friend Heather, who is my bandmate. And I realized like, oh, I have to leave to go shoot this pilot. And it was up in Vancouver. And I was like, I can't leave. I can't leave the band. I can't leave the, I can't, this take, because we had been, you know, we were like 12 years deep at this point. We were right. Like, you know, do or die together, just like everything. And so I was like, thank you so much. It's been a great opportunity. I just like, I don't think I can. And they were like, are you serious? Really? Like,
they, you auditioned
just,
a bunch of times.
You just auditioned 11 times.
I think when I contract. Got it.
So you just put it through. But I think when I got it, I didn't realize until I got it, what it was going to take. Like right. The reality of the situation.
You're just like, sorry, I should have asked where it shoots.
Yeah, to all of that. Yeah. You know, this is like, it's such this an is actor why people. Thing.
I've auditioned anyway. 14 times. I don't want this role.
Yeah.
Oh, I never should have gone here? In.
Yeah. So they called back again. And at on the third time that one of the producers called, and she was like, I heard you're like turning this down. And anyway, my bandmate and I, we had like a big conversation, a good cry. And it was like, don't worry, I'm not leaving. Like, I'll be here.
Back.
Like, I'll be back. It'll be quick. And then we went up and shot the pilots. I still thought it was something that like nobody was ever going to see. And then
wow.
Obviously my whole entire life changed overnight.
Oh my know. Gosh. Unbelievable. What a story.
I know.
It's always the
okay?
way it is, too. Yes.
Yeah, we're great. We're all good.
Isn't that the way it is, too, though? It's like, you know, one less phone call and your whole life is different.
Different.
You turned it down twice and that's it. So, oh, man, you never.
I know.
This business. Every time I hear these stories.
I just love that, like, you studied acting and then had just kind of fell into doing music because you guys started a band and then were like, oh yeah, I'm not even trying for this acting thing. I'm really gung ho and narrow focused on music. And all these, everything kept coming to you acting wise.
Yes. That's what's always blown my mind. I mean, not that I've worked multiple times, but when I have, it's usually come through music.
Yeah. Mm.
And there's something to that. And I think it's because like now if I audition for something, now that like I'm fully committed to doing this.
Right, now that you've given up music.
Yeah, now it's harder because like now the stakes are higher. I don't, you know, it's like I really want it. I probably look a little more like, I don't want to say desperate, but like you can tell I want it. Like before I
please.
It was like,
where
does
it shoot?
Like
I'll go anywhere.
Like, yeah, when you like that guy in high school and he doesn't like you, it's there's something to like when you don't want it, they want you. When you want
right,
it,
yeah, of
they
course.
Want you.
Of
what
course.
Is that?
Oh, human nature, unfortunately. Yeah. I think that's absolutely right. But I'm hoping that they're still faxing you sides. Because that would be the bed. It's like,
but
sorry, I gotta take this.
The best part is that you need to hang up the phone. Yeah. So could you give me a few minutes? Because I'm going to need to let this disconnect. I got to take the cord, plug it into the fax.
And it's so slow. It's like,
just the worst. The absolute worst.
I have a question. Did you prefer at the time doing four camera like Boy Meets World, the sitcom we did, or single camera like The L Word? Which version of TV did you like better?
You know, I've dreamt about doing what you all did more today, you know what I loved about it? The audience.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that really changes everything. You get that immediate response.
Yep.
And you could feel the night we taped, like, that just, there's an energy, like none of that's happening on set.
Yeah. Yes.
It's like, we're like 14 hours in and everyone's like,
everyone's tired and you're like, where are we in the script? What did I do right before this? Yeah. It's,
I mean, I really think that's that what you had is the dream job.
I think so too. Well, it's because it was, there's also this, the joy of you're rehearsing all week and you're leading up to show night.
Yes.
You know, there's the, then the audience comes in, you feel, like you said, you feel the energy. And the thing that I always loved was some of the stuff that was getting all the laughs during the week isn't getting the same laughs from the audience, and they're laughing at stuff you weren't expecting. So even you're thrown out. It's like, it's the greatest thing, kind of, you're reading them while they're reading you and you're trying to figure out the best way to dance. So yeah, I personally agree, but I sometimes the shooting, I mean, doing a show like The L Word, it's, you're essentially shooting a film always.
All day, every day. Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
That and can get exhausting.
Well, you don't get as many takes as well. I mean, you know, like three takes.
There's too many setups.
Is great. Yeah. There's too many things to get through, too many setups. And I, you know, like theater, because when I was in school, like that's all we did. So it just, your show reminded me so much of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even understand how you guys let that go. What a come down. Like, or how did you get through that?
It's been a rough 23 years.
No, you know, it's funny. We joke about it, but it's easy to see how sitcom actors, especially young sitcom actors, fall into that unfortunate stereotype of drinking or drugs or going down the wrong path. Because as we've said many times, Thursday night, you're somebody and you're in front of an audience, and Friday morning, you're not. So you wouldn't always see, there are some shocks, but you could kind of tell the people that weren't going to be able to transition as easily, where it's, you could see like, ooh, this person might have a problem. And sometimes they did. And so,
wow.
It was, you know, you could find that it's looking for that rush. That audience becomes a drug, and it's literally gone in one day. So you, some people.
You know, I never equated it to the rush of the audience. I always thought it must be an age, you know, just growing up. Right. And then who am I when you leave? I mean, after.
Well, there's something interesting about knowing that chances are you've lived the first line of your obituary by the time you're 17.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can you can go off and have a great life and a wonderful life, family, whatever you want to do. But chances are it's going to say Will Friedle from Boy Meets World was killed today by a lion.
What?
I have
or
in my
Katie
head.
Lang.
Yeah, or Katie Lang's accent. One and the same. She's a lion. Come on. Yeah. So, I mean, there can be a difficulty in that transition for some people.
Yeah.
Which is why being a child actor usually is a whole separate thing than starting to act when you're 19.
20. Yeah. Like your identity is cemented.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you're like trying to either chase it or leave it behind. You're the
one of the two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, you know, just the same way you're talking about the desperation you feel, you know, that there's an allure to this business where the second you feel like you've left it behind, one thing comes and taps you on the shoulder and you're instantly sucked back into everything.
Oh, for sure.
So it is, it's just, you think you get away and you can't. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have that. I have that with my show as well. I mean, we all do, whoever was a part of it, but the audience thing, that's very interesting because I do always, from having 1 week, spending 1 week with you guys, I remember that feeling and how much fun it was.
Yeah.
And like, I can't imagine 7 years, week after week, like what that would do to me, how much I would miss it.
Yes.
So is that the goal then? I mean, would you love to be like on a sitcom now, like a straight up comedy, four camera?
Down.
Yeah.
Like I've said it for years like that. Yeah, that would be. Plus, I just like the rhythm of it. I like the rhythm of sitcoms.
Yeah.
We do too.
They're musical, you know, like they are musical, like the way you know.
Well,
that's, we've always talked about that.
We had on Boy Meets World, some of our guest stars are some of like the coolest musicians ever. You, Blake Sennett from Rilo Kiley was a recurring guest star on our show.
Wow.
And Alex Desaire, who's a Hepcat.
Yep.
Like the musical influences on the show and the people who stand out the most, sometimes with the smallest amount of things to do. Like you were in one episode.
Yeah.
Blake did maybe 12 episodes, but was definitely a side character. And Alex, who did a full season with us, but was the most underused actor on the show. They are some of the most indelible. And we think it is because there's a musicality to sitcom that when you speak music, you get the rhythm.
That's so cool.
Isn't it cool?
That you thought that and I thought that. And now we all think it's cool.
And now we're all, now we put it out into the world and everyone will believe it.
Like we gave away the secret.
We did.
It's true. No, but it's true though. We've talked about that. The best sitcom actors are the ones that they're playing offbeat.
Yeah.
So you think you're hearing the regular tempo and then the line comes from Matthew Perry where you go, where the hell did you get that from? Mm-hmm. Like, where is that read from? Alan Alda was the same way. It's like, wow, you just took it a whole different way. So yeah, there's that musicality, but it's the actors that play offbeat that are the ones that always stick with me. Yeah, comedy is music.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Not a website, but a person in your community that would help you for free. Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get.
Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search.
Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you or download the Express Jobs app to get started.
With a wide range of opportunities in a variety of industries, from welding to sales, forklift operator to customer service, the team at Express is ready to help you or someone you know take the next career step.
Whether you're looking for a contract job for the summer or a new full-time role, turn to Express Employment.
Interviewing with Express Employment Professionals can be as easy as a phone call, and one application with Express puts you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community.
Don't go in your job search alone.
Visit expresspros.com today.
You have your own podcast with your friend Kate, who we mentioned played Shane from The L Word, and it's called The Pants Pod.
Yeah,
what inspired you to do a podcast with your former co-star, who's also a best friend? Because it sounds awful.
terrible.
I mean, in all honesty, it was the pandemic. We really missed each other. And we thought, podcasts were kind of around, but nobody was doing recap. We didn't want it to be an L Word recap show because we were scared that we'd run out.
Right.
Right.
Because, we only had a
certain amount. That fear.
I mean, yeah, smart. We also.
We know that fear.
Wish yeah, we had spoken to you.
You have tons to talk about because you are friends as well, right?
Yes, we
yeah,
are.
So, yeah, so we just sort of
jerk,
you know, just it was sort of like a phone call. Like, what would we talk about normally? And then we're 4 years deep at this point.
Wow.
And now so we're like running out of things to talk about.
What's it about? And what are we going to talk about when we're on your show?
Oh, yeah. Listen, please come on. We can do the same thing.
Great.
I would love to have you on. Kate will just sit back and listen. She's like, what happened?
So what'd you do?
You know, it's like, yeah, no, honestly, I'd love to have you on. But we've tried recapping the L word. It's just, you might find this. We have so many inside jokes. And also, like, we have the ability to laugh at something that's so close to us.
Right.
Like, but I think it belongs to everybody, right? Yeah. So that's the thing where I'm like, I don't think we can own it in that way and talk about it only from our point of view because, I don't know, it's just too important for people. So I think we're probably not going to do recaps.
I guess I could see that. I will tell you that it was one of the things we talked about was like how important Boy Meets World is to people, the way it affected them, changed their childhoods or helped them through their childhoods. And we were worried that our inside jokes or the way we were going to criticize something, we talked about it just outwardly right at the beginning. Like our biggest fear is that we're going to ruin the show for people by us just being honest and having fun conversation about it. But we said, but if we're going to do this, we're going to be honest. And then we let everybody in on those inside jokes. We never have shied away from saying them. And now we have people coming up to us at live shows saying, Steve's having a baby.
Yeah.
And like, that's a thing that only if you worked on Boy Meets World for those few years, would you even know what that meant?
Right.
And now everybody knows it. And I'll tell you, it's the greatest feeling to feel the community has grown and you just feel more connected to people. And now they know the show in a deeper way. So I understand the fear, but I bet you would actually find a way to seamlessly do it and you would enjoy it. And so would the fans.
Okay, good. I will take that in.
Yeah. So finally, looking back now, almost 30 years later, when you see young baby Leisha.
30 years. Every time I hear it, I'm like, oh my God, it can't be that long.
So when you see that baby Leisha, as you described her, absolutely killing it in her first TV acting gig ever, what would you want to say to her?
Oh, I'm really proud of her. Like, I love that I just went for it. And I see that. I see that in the performance. I just seem like very excited to be there. And like, I don't know. I'd be like, good job, kid.
Yes.
I think that's one thing we did. I want to know if you remember this because we talked about this. I talked about this when we recapped the actual episode. Do you remember pulling me aside and saying, can you do me a favor? And I was all nervous. I thought you were going to like I was doing something horrible. And you're like, can you start? The sun will come out tomorrow at a lower key because I'm not going to be able to hit the notes. Do you remember this?
No, but that's funny. I was watching last night and because I started a certain way. And then when you came back in, we were in a different key.
Yeah.
And I thought that was because you couldn't hear the key I was already singing. I asked you to do that.
Yeah, you're like, could you come and make it lower? Because but the way you pulled me aside, it was like, I really need to talk to you about something. And I was like, oh God, like I had done something horrible.
No.
And it was, you're like, could you start at a lower key?
Yeah. Like, I'm already really
sure, I'm a professional singer. I can figure out what a key is. I have to let you know, no Google. I was like, what's a key? Oh, start lower. Okay, gotcha. It was so fun that week. We had so much fun that week.
We really did.
Yeah.
We really did.
Well, we've had almost just as much fun having you here on the podcast with us. So we can't thank you enough for spending your time with us today.
It was my pleasure. I was very excited to do it. It's so great to see you both. You look amazing.
Likewise.
You.
We'll have to make plans to get together. We
you
definitely
have to come to the house.
Want you
That's
to
awesome.
Call me for
That's
the party.
So cool.
Very sure. interested.
We will fax you all the information.
I'll wear all black.
Yeah, plug in your home phone.
We have to decide which Corinna I would be. I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
I guess the mean, like at the edgy one.
Yeah, edgy I think because people would want to hear Shallow Boy.
Yeah,
people want to hear Shallow Boy.
All right, it's decided.
That's all.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Leisha.
That was
thank
really great to see you. Nice to see you.
Bye.
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 Oh my gosh.
She's awesome.
She's incredible. I mean, that was so much fun to have her.
Yeah.
And you could tell that she was really excited to be here, which is great because I was worried she was going to, you know, we have interviewed people before where they haven't remembered anything.
Yeah. It's like, was I even on this show? Why am I here?
And then you think, why did you want to be on this podcast if you don't remember?
What did you come to this for?
But she remembers stuff and she had such
She started talking. Her voice is so, like, I mean, I don't know if, and I should have talked to her about this while we're doing it, but I'll have to email her. I don't know if she has a voiceover agent, but her voice is so unique.
Yes.
That the second she started talking, I was right back to the shooting the show because, oh man, her voice hasn't changed at all. It's great.
Man, so great. So great to see her. And how cool is that? Just going over some of the musical guest stars we had.
Yeah. And that's not even including like the Monkees,
right? Yeah, exactly.
And we had the guitarist from Cheap Trick, and who was the I'm gonna forget his name. What would you think I could do at this moment?
Oh, gosh.
That guy who was one of the Tongues, wasn't he? One of the four guitars.
I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And then never forget the Hold On to the Night leather jacket. That
of
song
course.
Is
yeah,
a we've, part of the show.
We've got some serious musical cred.
Absolutely. Well, you guys can check out Leisha's other podcast, The Pants Pod, and hear all of the music from The Murmurs and her more recent band, Her, and that is playing on all platforms. Billy Vera.
There we go.
That's who it was you were thinking of.
Yep.
Thank you all for listening to this episode of Pod Meets World. As always, you can follow us on Instagram, Pod Meets World Show. You can send us your emails, podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. And we have merch.
Nobody misses Ryder merch.
PodMeetsWorldShow.com. We'll see you all next time. Will, send us out.
We love you all, except Ryder. Pod dismissed.
Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong. Executive producers Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production Danielle Romo. Producer and editor Tara Sudbach. Producer Maddie Moore. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon, and you can follow us on Instagram at PodMeetsWorldShow or email us at PodMeetsWorldShow@gmail.com.
When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler Elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through.
BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy.
Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need.
That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class.
And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles.
That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards.
The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready.
Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.